one this morning. It sure is good to see each of you. Good to see this number for Sunday school. It's good to see that, and the others are coming in. And I'd like to welcome any visitors we may have. Just make yourself at home. It's all about the Lord here. I mean, that's who matters. That's what matters. We're here to see Him and learn more about Him. And that's, this year I've probably spent more time, I guess, I was thinking about it, studying more about the birth of Jesus than I have probably any other year. There's a whole lot in the Bible that talks about His birth, prophesying, the actual occurrence where it happens. And that's what I think is so neat about the Bible. Again, we've talked about it before, about how it's timeless. It tells us about the past, it tells us about the present, and it tells us about the future, what to expect, and looking back. And as these events occurred, we'll see it as it occurred in their lifetime, and we look back on it. We look back on the prophesying of His birth, the prophesying of the cross, all the way up to the prophesying of His return. And with us, and here in this day and time, the cradle and the cross has already taken place, but we're looking for His return. And what an exciting time to be that close, to be in this place in history. So last week, we were in the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we were talking about the birth of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And this week, I'd like to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ back in the same scripture. If we go to Luke chapter 1, I'd like to go through verses 26 through 56. Try not to be too lengthy, so we'll be ready for our program at 11. Looking forward to that also. Josh didn't know that we were going to be singing Brethren, We've Come to Worship. And so when I saw that on the list to be sang there, I was excited. I didn't tell Josh about it, but that's one of his favorite songs. You wouldn't have known that had I not told you that. But that's one of his favorite songs. So when they started singing that, I immediately looked back to him and Sarah, and they were looking at each other, and Josh's eyes lit up. But see, that's something I knew about him, Brother James. I could identify that with him. And I know we call, in the singing even, and I get it, we call it a story. I look at it as an account. Sometimes this story is absolutely real. Some stories are real. Some stories can be made up. But this is an event in history, an actual occurrence when you're talking about the birth of Jesus. I was thinking about how Brandy, not being from here, she shared her testimony with the ladies a few weeks ago, and she wanted to, I guess, be able to better identify with the ladies, because in the groups in the church or folks in the church, because she wasn't from here. So there's things about her you wouldn't know unless she told you. And so she wanted to share that. And like with us, a lot of us that are from here, we kind of knew each other and know each other. We grew up and we come up together, as they say. So you kind of know how that is. And I was thinking about something else also. I don't know if you've seen this book or not, if you've seen this come your way, if you got this in the mail or not, but I think Brother Mike might know from Cross Door. There's an article in here about Brother Mike. Brother Mike Stanley. And Brother, I want to tell you, that was a blessing to read. Brandy found it in the mail. She was looking through it. She said, Jason, look at this. You got to see this. This is about somebody that we know. But there's things in there that maybe I'd heard a little bit about Brother Mike, but I didn't really know. But as I read it, I mean, it touched my heart. When you look at different occurrences, different things that people have gone through in their life story, things you might not know. But in reading this, people share things with us so that we can maybe more so identify with them. Maybe we can have a better idea about who they are, where they came from. Well, that's exactly how I want us to look at this scripture when we're talking about Jesus Christ. He didn't leave things to chance. He didn't leave things for us to try to kind of piece together. When He gave us His word, He gave us everything He wanted us to know about Him, about where He came from, about His upbringing, who He is, who God created Him to be. And I want us to think about that as we study this morning. We're looking again at the birth of Jesus Christ. This is just what is leading up to it. Again, the book of Luke, you're thinking about it here, the Gospels. We had had 400 silent years. If you go from the end of Malachi, you go from the end of that into this here, the 400 silent years. So everything was kind of quiet, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started talking to us again, started talking to the nation of Israel again, started telling what was going on. And we'll pick up pretty much where we left off last week, because we had the announcement of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, which is John the Baptist. He came along 6 months before Jesus. And the forerunner has to come first, doesn't he? So he had a six-month lead time on Jesus, as we read here. And we're seeing exactly here how it happened when the announcement of Jesus Christ, how his birth was going to take place. Now, Gabriel here, his name means God is my strength, and he's the guardian angel. I tried to look a little bit more into this. We've been talking a lot about angels in the book of Hebrew on Wednesday night. But Gabriel here, one of the archangels, when Gabriel come around, something big was happening. Anytime an angel would come in general, something big was happening. But when God sent Gabriel to come, it was something big that he wanted to announce. And that's something I learned over the weekend I thought was interesting, that he's the guardian angel of Israel, of the nation of Israel. So when we see Gabriel, it should make our minds think about the nation of Israel. Maybe this is more likely pertaining to Israel. And of the 273 or 270 some times that angels are mentioned in the Bible, we see that Gabriel was mentioned about four times. And I thought it was all interesting there. It was two times in the book of Daniel. We see two times in the book of Luke here. And in Daniel, he came to interpret his visions. Of course, the visions pertain to the nation of Israel. And what we're seeing here is the forerunner and the Savior of Israel being announced here. So Gabriel was the one who was sent to do these announcements. So we'll start here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, you're talking about 6 months later, in the sixth month, Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And Galilee, we'll see partially there in the program, we'll see that Galilee is a Gentile-heavy area located here. You see where the Lord came, to where he was sent to set up his home base, if you will. We'll see where he was sent. Now, verse 27, we see a little bit more here about some explanation. Last week, we were talking about the birth of a human, the birth of John the Baptist, Zacharias being the father, and Elizabeth being the mother. This week is going to be quite a bit different than that announcement. We're seeing someone that is very different in how they are going to be conceived and who he is. Last time we were talking about an earthly person. This time we're talking about a spiritual person. The Bible even calls him a holy thing there. We'll see that here in just a minute. So you see that it's different. Verse 27, it says, read verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, there's two words. It's one word that's mentioned twice here. It mentions virgin. I think that means that the Bible wants to make clear who Mary was, how Mary was. When you see that word there, virgin, that means a young woman who has known no man. There was no biological, physical way that she could have had a child with another man. So we need to see that and understand that. For us to understand who Jesus is, we have to know his birth. We have to understand how he was created. He wasn't created just from another man. You know, when we think about the Jewish people and sometimes give them a hard time about missing who Jesus was, if they were there at that point in time and saw Joseph and Mary together, they might have said, well, that's Joseph's son, the son of a carpenter, and so you'd just miss it altogether. You'd completely miss it. See, Mary here, she was espoused to be married to Joseph, which if you look in Jewish tradition, that's usually about a year-long formal agreement that these two are to be wed. Sometimes the fathers from each couple there, or each person, the husband and wife, would get together and make an arrangement, and it would be set up. But this was a very serious time, but a time that this espousal was looked at just as serious as a marriage was. But it's important that we know also, in the Jewish tradition, that marriage was not finalized until husband and wife came together. So this was an espousal at this period in time, and what it's talking about. Joseph had not known Mary. Mary was a virgin. It says here again twice, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and of the virgin's name, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, last week, we gave some definitions of names, and I wanted to share this. Zacharias means God remembers. Elizabeth means his oath. God remembered his oath with the nation of Israel. So this week, I wanted to look up the names of Mary and Joseph, and I thought this was interesting. Joseph's name means God will give, and Mary's name means wished for child. I thought that was kind of interesting, too. But then again, also know that Joseph is not the father of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is. We'll see this here in just a minute. Verse number 28, and it says, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When you look at this word highly favored, I was trying to read this. I think sometimes we would maybe try to pedestal Mary, and I would not take anything from her. Being the mother of Jesus is one of the most special things that anybody could ever claim or to take part in. But that is how God chose this to be. But I would also remind us that she was a human just like you and I. But a very special human, a very special person. It says here that she is highly favored. When I looked at that a little bit closer and studied a little bit more, I found that the only comparison to this in our King James Bible but would be the scripture that is found in Ephesians 1 and 6. When it talks about being highly favored. And it says here in Ephesians 1 and 6, it says, To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. When we see the comparison that God's grace, what he had for Mary in choosing her to be the mother of Jesus, that is compared to also the same grace that God has found us to give us favor to be called the sons of God for our salvation. So I see that I'd never seen that before, and I thought that was very interesting because all believers are filled with God's grace. And he's making reference to that if you look at that further down in the New Testament. In verse number 29, and it says, And when she had saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, looking at verse 29 and 30, also I'll read 30, and it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The only comparison that I could have, I've had a little bit of an experience of being a messenger. And one of my greatest fears in knowing that is when I was in law enforcement, one of my responsibilities as a chaplain with the office and what have you is if there was any death notifications to take place, I was the one that was supposed to do that. And working on a college campus, working anywhere is hard, but working on a college campus, for the most part, you would know that that probably meant it was going to be someone's child. That you would be the one responding to talk to mother, to talk to father, family, and you'd be the one telling them about the passing of their child. I dreaded the thoughts of that so much. I remember one time I had to pick up a girl and take her to student affairs. There's a young student there, and I had to take her. And her sister had been killed in a car wreck unexpectedly. And she said, Jason, or they told me, said, Jason, you need to go pick her up and bring her to the office. They're going to give the announcement. Oh, I dreaded that so bad. I picked her up, and she didn't have a clue. She didn't know. And her mind was racing. Her mind, I could tell, she was like, you could tell she was a good student, that she wasn't in trouble, and she was trying to figure out why she was in trouble. And I said, you're not in trouble. Where Carrie, I was trying to explain to her, you're not in trouble. But it's almost like I wish she would have had been versus what we had to tell her. It's like, you're not in trouble. She's like, is this about this with this situation that happened in class? I said, I wouldn't even think another thing about that. Don't even think about that. Don't even worry about that. You see, when messengers show up, somebody like Gabriel shows up, people know something big is getting ready to happen. Something big is going on. And you see with Mary here, to plus, when you're talking about an angel, you're talking about the severity of what's going on. She knew something very serious was taking place. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind. Cast means to form. She was trying to form in her mind what was taking place. She was in real time trying to understand, Brother Curtis, what was happening. What is this about? Is this bad news? Is this good news? And just being in the presence of an angel would be enough to trouble someone, even at that, just at his appearance. at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What an emotional time for her. You imagine. I was thinking about it different times if Josh hadn't got home yet and I hear somebody walking on the stairs, and what if it's a deputy? What if it's a trooper? You know, one of your greatest fears. But Gabriel hears say, Mary, don't be afraid. I've got some really good news for you here. I got something good that I want to share with you. This is not only for you, this is for the entire nation of Israel. This is a big announcement. Again, you think about an angel, they're a messenger. They were sent from the very presence of God to share what God had for them. That's a big message. That was very special. So Gabriel, I'm sure the times that he showed up, he had to put people at ease at first. He's like, I know how this is going to go. I've got to put her at ease first so she can hear and comprehend, try to comprehend what I'm getting ready to tell her. She had found favor with God. In verse 31, it says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So I'm sure her mind was racing. She's trying to put things together, wanting a child. That was a desirable thing. Many people, again, like we talked last week, many ladies were barren, weren't able to have children. They were praying for children, wanting children. And now Gabriel has come and announced to her that she's going to conceive a child in her womb. That word conceive, we know that means to be actually formed or created, but it also means to receive, if you look it up. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32, it says, And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, Mary's mind is probably racing, trying to figure this out. Why me? What's going on? It's not bad news. It's good news. This is taking place. No doubt a younger lady. You remember Elizabeth? She was an older lady. Mary's younger. Mary's got a lot of things to experience in life. Definitely not as much life experience as what Elizabeth has had. And she's trying to take all this in and comprehend all of this in her mind, trying to piece all of these things together. And again, let's read these verses one more time. It says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. You think she thought at that point in time how great Jesus was? Boy, I tell you, I want to say this. When I learned that I was lost and I needed a Savior, and I really started to begin to understand who Jesus is and why I needed him, I thought he was great. I thought he was amazing, Brother Norman. But I can tell you wholeheartedly today, he's a whole lot more amazing to me today, even than the day that I was saved. He amazes me every day. He protects me in every way, provides for me in every way. Is he great to you this morning? He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, I tell you, her mind is probably racing at this point. Now we're talking about who the Father is, the Son of the Highest. How is this going to happen? And the Lord God shall give him give unto him the throne of his father David. See, when you look back again at the nation of Israel, they're always looking for their next king. King David was the last true rightful king of the throne of Israel. And see, they've been trying to piece that together ever since. If you go back and you look at how their kingship has gone, and you look back in Chronicles and Kings, and you see how all that goes down, and you see they're waiting for that king to come, and it wasn't enough that when he was prophesied and he was told that he would come, that's the son of a carpenter. Remember, that can't be our king. Our king is greater than that. Our king is different than that. People trying to place things together and understand, again, talking about the Jewish nation and them understanding who their king is. He's saying here, told Mary that Jesus was going to take the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Everything that we see in this life has an end. Everything. We don't understand what without end really means. You think about a person's lifespan, there's a beginning, there's an end, as far as this temporal life that we have physically, but the spirit lives on forever, has a start but doesn't have an end. It will, our soul, our spirit will spend eternity in heaven or hell. That's how that works. That's why Jesus had to come to die, to give us an opportunity, a chance to be saved, to accept him. When we're talking about his kingdom, when Jesus comes to set everything right, there will be no end. See, what we do, we look at things in, let's talk about politics for just a minute in a non-controversial kind of way. They usually have about a 2 or 4 year span, Brother Mike, that's how it works. Well, in 4 years, we're going to set this thing straight. We're going to get somebody in here and they're going to do right all these wrongs and we're going to get it right. Or we say, well, we've got 4 years to hopefully do something to undo what was done before, Sister Kathy. That's kind of how it works, is it not? But you imagine when Jesus comes and he sets this thing right, it'll never have to be fixed again. You don't have to vote. You don't have to worry about that, Brother Dale. It will be done. And it will be done right. We don't have to second guess that. I'm going to save some of this for the program, but when he comes, it's going to be done right, and it's going to be forever. You imagine living in a perfect kingdom, a perfect government, forever and ever and ever. You don't have to worry about voting anymore. You don't have to worry, are they going to make the right decision? He's going to set it right, do it right, and set it and forget it, so to speak. He's going to take care of us. In verse 34, and it said, and then said Mary unto the angels, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? We see Mary's logic. I'll be honest with you, Mary's logic is my logic, man's logic. How is this going to happen? She's digesting a lot during this conversation, is she not? Thankfully, it's not a bad announcement, it's a good announcement. I'm going to have a child, but I've known no man. How am I going to have a child? This man is going to be great, the greatest among any, the greatest of all men. The greatest of the great, and the Lord is going to make this happen. And she logically, when you're wanting to do for the Lord, if a person is wanting to do what the Lord would have them to do, you actually get to a place in life that you say, well, Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you not? You get to a place that it's like, okay, you want me to do these things, Brother Nathan. The Lord's saying, you want me to do these things. Well, what, or you want to do these things for me, through me, with me. What do you want from me? He wants your compliance. He wants your faithfulness. He wants you to be willing. That's what the Lord looks at. He knows we don't have any ability. He just wants people to be willing to go along with his plan. And I think that's a very small ask for all that he's done for us. If we would just by faith do that, that's what he's asking. Or Mary's saying here, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, ladies, how would you digest that? Sister Jan, how would you digest that? You know, that has never happened before, and it's never going to happen again. That's a one-time happening, Brother Ben. That's a one-time thing because there's only one of them. There's only one of him. There's only one Jesus. There's only the need for one Jesus. You don't need any more. You get him, you don't need anything else. Preached a message years ago. If Jesus is your plan A, you don't need a plan B. It's all about him and it's all for him. And he's explaining here, the angel is explaining to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost is who is going to conceive this. This is who is going to do the work. This is the one who is going to place this child in your womb. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. See, this is taking Joseph off the table. Not making light of him, but this is taking him off the table. This is explaining who Jesus is. I don't have it numbered, but you know how many times in the Bible it has to be so high that it explains who Jesus is and that he's the Son of God. But people miss that so often, so many times. Entire nations, entire people miss who he is. You see the prophesying here, or just the immediate prophesying here that's coming from Gabriel, the announcement. The power of the holiest, or the highest, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I always thought that word there, or that phrase there, this holy thing. And I looked up what the word thing means. Thing means any substance, that which is created. This is created. He was created by God. But a thing, I mean, what else would you call it? When there's only one thing like that, it'd be hard probably just to find the word. This thing, it's a one-time occurrence. It's a one-time situation. And he shall be called the Son of God. I can just imagine again Mary's mind going through here. And you see some help here. These next verses, 35 through 37, I'll place together. And it said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son, but her in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She's 6 months away from where she was bearing when John the Baptist was conceived. Now look at verse number 37. I know, again, this is another one of Josh's favorite verses. I'll put that in there. It kind of goes together. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now I think we claim that verse a lot. We use that verse a lot. And I think a lot of times we probably misuse it. And I want to explain why. I can think up things in my mind, good or bad, might not have any bearing. I can think up things in my mind, Brother Tim, that I'd want to happen a certain way. And I'd want it to happen that way so bad that I'd pray about it. And then I would claim this verse and say, God is going to make this happen for me. One thing that's important to realize here, God said that the birth of Jesus was going to happen on this wise. It was going to happen a certain way. Regardless of what mankind thinks, or what mankind does, when God does something, it's going to happen when he speaks it, when he says it. And it's going to happen the way he says it. You see what he's saying here, regardless of what the outside interference may be, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So when God says something is going to happen, it's not impossible. It's going to happen the way he says it's going to happen. He's got that set in motion. So when we see this verse, know that when you read this, when you see Old Testament prophecy, when you see things in the Bible, when God says something is going to happen, know that it's not impossible. Because our logical minds try to piece it together and say, how is this going to work? Well, see, it's not for us to know the details. It's not even for us to try to put the details together. God has those. God has the power. God has the people. God has the ability. He just asks for us to be willing. So he's putting them at ease, putting Mary at ease, just like he had placed Elizabeth at ease. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we see these next few verses here together. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. I really like that verse there. Let it be according to thy word. Brother Allen, that's how we should be. Not according to my will, not according to my logic, not according to my understanding. But Lord, I want what you want. A lot of times, Brother Nathan, we can't see it. I mean, we can't see the future. If God told me years ago that I'd be standing here today, it'd be hard for me to fathom that. I wouldn't understand that. But Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I want. That's how it is. When we start following after God, you have to let go of this self-perceived control that you think you have. We don't really have control of anything. We really don't. But aren't you glad you can know the one that does? I mean, the one that actually sees what's going to happen in the future? The one that knows what your future need is going to be before you even get there? And have it provided for you? Here and ready for you? It'll be there when you need it. God has never, Brother Finley, not been there when I needed him. And when I look back on life, I was thinking, man, Sister Kim, I didn't know I was going to need that. But he did. And he had it. He had it right there waiting on me when I needed it. That's who he is. That's how he is. How good it is that we follow him, that we can, if we will follow him and trust him, that he will do that. Verse number 38 again, it said, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She agreed. She said, I'm on board. And Mary arose in those days and went to the went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered to the house of Zacharias and salutated Elizabeth. She's excited. She had some good news. Elizabeth had some good news too. Isn't that neat? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, there's some identification taking place right there, Brother Allen. There's some identification taking place. Studying this here, you know, I was thinking about it, how it is sometimes when it breaks out in church, when the Spirit is good in church, it is so good to feel that identifying Spirit, that familiar Spirit, that the Holy Ghost is here and He's going to do something. He wants to do something. There's times I've been in services and I've felt that. It might be a need of salvation. It might be a need of revival. Whatever the need is, the Lord knows that. But you see, what is so neat, this forerunner that was created 6 months prior, all he was, his mission to do is to say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you know, that's what he was created to do. And they come into the same house and he leaped. He said, Jesus is here. He's here. It's time. Let's get this started. You see, here's the thing. When God does something, when the Spirit does something, you don't pre-plan it. How often do you get up and go to church and say, today's going to be the day that I shout in church? I don't know. I mean, you can pre-plan it and work something up. Isn't it better when the Holy Spirit identifies with you and makes you do something? When He moves you. John the Baptist didn't know that was going to happen. He was still in the womb. Jesus showed up. Jesus came by. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. How special it is to see that union between those two ladies. Mary needed the assistance that Elizabeth had for her. Again, Mary, a young person. Elizabeth, an older, more experienced lady, had similar occurrences, very different, but similar in some ways, but very different, obviously, in others. Verse 42, and it says that she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She didn't say, blessed art thou above women. See, she didn't elevate Mary. But she said, blessed art thou among women. See, she knew when the Holy Ghost starts moving in your heart, when He starts moving, you can identify with that and you know it. You can know when somebody's trying to work something up and when the Holy Ghost is moving. There's a difference. It don't take smoke and mirrors. It doesn't take anything. Very often, it doesn't take a word. Very often, it does happen with music and praise. People willing to praise God, sing praises to Him. That pleases the Lord and it gives the Spirit free rein to move and do. You know, that is probably my number one prayer, two prayers that I pray often for services. Lord, please save somebody. And Lord, please let Your Holy Spirit have free rein. Lord, don't let me hinder You. Lord, don't let me stop You. Don't let me get in the way of anything that You want to do. Lord, please let Your Spirit have free rein, because if His Spirit doesn't have free rein, it's going to be hard to see souls saved. Quench not the Spirit. How important it is just to let Him do what He wants to do. Get out of the way, Lord, I want what You want. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Capital L-O-R-D. She is identifying with her. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Boy, that is a special service, if you will. I know it's a meeting, but what a special service, a time that they are having here together. Verse 48, and it said, and he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. See, she realized who she was. She wasn't elevating herself. She was talking about that grace in Ephesians 1:6, that grace that's extended to all believers. that God would love us enough that he had sent his only begotten son to die, that we would have a way of salvation. That's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. That's God saying, I'm going to be better to you than you deserve. Unmerited favor to an offender, to be exact. We're all offenders. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he has his mercy and his grace upon us. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Verse 49, it says, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. All the way down. You think about that again. Read that verse again. Highlight that verse. Think about that. And his mercy is on him, on them that fear him from generation to generation. I think a lot of people have lost that fear and don't consider it, and don't look at it. But I'd rather fear him and have his mercy than try to prove any points against the Lord God. Verse 51, it says, and he hath showed strength, with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in his imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That's how he works. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath holpen, he hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. See, this is an extending to the nation of Israel first. Remember who he went to first. Brother Finley's doing an amazing job in the beginning there with the book of Acts. And I encourage you to be with us in Sunday school. The book of Acts shows us a whole lot. There's a lot of movement and a lot of transition that goes on. And it helps us to understand and see these things after the gospel, how the New Testament church is set up, the faith that we have. Verse 55, as he spake in our fathers, to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now there's absolutely more that can be said about the birth of Jesus. This is the pre-announcement, if you will. And Lord willing, we'll see, one, how the weather is and how the Lord leads for Christmas morning. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we have a missionary coming. Brother Lamar Whittemore is supposed to be with us next week, next Sunday. But we'll see and see how the Lord leads for Christmas Sunday. I'm looking forward to that time as well. But I will stop right there, and I think maybe we'll have a little bit of time of prayer or to pray. But before we go into our program, I just want to ask if there's anything on anyone's heart this morning, any objects of prayer, anything this morning on your heart.